to Garden of Eden Ministries. You are welcome here. Our ministry is an online ministry focused on strengthening and equipping the Bride of Christ to finish her end-time mission. We have prayer calls Monday and Tuesdays at 7:30 a.m. and Bible studies on Monday and Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Go to our website to find out more at www.gom.us. Do you want trustworthy Christian news? Then follow Dr. June Knight. We are on Patreon at www.patreon.com/Dr. June Knight Weir. Thank you for checking us out. God bless you.
All right, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. How is everyone doing on this Monday morning? How's everybody doing? Hello, hello, hello. Yes, I'd like to know that myself. How is Ardina and Bruce in Canada doing with them fires? I pray you guys are doing okay and away from all that smoke. On the prayer call this morning, we talked to a lady that's up in Maine, and she is already getting some of the smoke. So we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you protect all your people, Lord. Protect their lungs in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are studying the book of Acts, and it's actually really perfect timing that we are studying the book of Acts, because in this day, oh, that's good, Ardina. Y'all don't have any smoke. That is great. But in these days, we need the power of the living God. We need to speak in tongues. We need to walk in that authority like we talked about yesterday at church. We need to walk in that authority and in that power. And yesterday's sermon actually was really good. If you guys can go listen to it, we talked about the armor of God versus Aaron's priestly garments. It was very powerful because there's a lot of similarities. We are the kings and priests of today. That's what Jesus did. You know, Jesus opened the door for this. It's so amazing what Jesus did. And I hear what you're saying. Heather told me, she goes, I like it, but I don't like your gray hair. You look too old. She said we look old. But so I'm thinking about going back blonde. Anyway, so good morning, everybody. Good morning. I'm so happy to be with you guys this morning. Now, let's go over here to Acts chapter 5. Well, before we do, I'm going to read you a little synopsis about what we're going to study today. Okay, Acts chapter 5. Well, first, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for what we're learning in the book of Acts. We thank you, Lord, for preparing us as the end time church. Lord, to be like the apostles in the days of old, Lord. Walking in that authority and walking in that power. We give you all the honor, glory, and the praise. And Lord, we thank you for making the words come to life in our spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 5 in the New Testament. I am proud of my gray. Don't be mistaking me. I am proud of it. But I am seriously thinking about going back blonde. I'm thinking it may reduce about 20 years of my look. Anyway, Acts chapter 5 in the New Testament shows the early Christian church facing purity tests from within and fierce opposition from without. It emphasizes that God values honesty and holiness in his community, and that faith in Jesus survives despite external threats. So today we're going to talk about a story called Ananias and Sapphira. There is a lie that takes place by this married couple They sell their land, claim they gave all the money to the church, but secretly kept some for themselves. So thus they receive immediate judgment from God. Peter confronts them as well for lying to the Holy Spirit. And both of them drop dead immediately. That is a very sad thing. The meaning of it is the fact that God shows that deceit, hypocrisy, and greed have no place in the new church, establishing a strict standard of moral purity and reverence for God's holiness. I was talking about it on the prayer call this morning about, you know, every person, ministry or not, is going to be held accountable for their finances. What did we do with our finances? Did we bless? Was we selfish? What did we do? It goes both ways, in both ministry and personal. Oh, amen, Irene. She goes, the armor, we talked about at church yesterday. What? They talked about it at your church too? The armor of God? Wow. She goes, God must be telling us to get ready. Wow, wow, wow. She said at her church they was preaching on the armor as well. But anyway, this chapter also talks about miracles and growth. The sign, the apostles performed many wonders and healings, drawing large crowds and new believers. The meaning, God backs the message of the apostles with power, showing the church is guided and protected from above. Arrest and release the conflict. The Jewish religious leaders grew jealous and angry, putting the apostles in jail. Boy, we know that's coming, don't we? By the Noahide laws, which, by the way, is gaining ground. A lot more ministries like Episcopal Church, Baptist Church, they're all starting to talk about it now. Even some Messianic Jews are warning people. So that people are catching on, and I pray it's not too late for them, about the Noahide laws, because we're talking death sentence very soon for the church. So it's good, you know, that hopefully they'll be able to reach their peoples and warn them about the price we're all about to pay because we believe in the name of Jesus. So the Jewish religious leaders grow jealous and angry, which is kind of really like today, because that's what that is. They say that we are white supremacists. But what they mean is we think, because we believe there's only one covenant, that we are supreme to everyone else because we have the one covenant. But the deal is, that's not the case, because we believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. It just means that we believe in what the Bible says. You know, we believe that the Bible is true. Okay, so since the Bible is true, then there's only one covenant. And like we showed you the other day, this controversy or this kind of meeting that was held between a Jewish woman and a bunch of Gentiles, you know, a bunch of Christians. And they was talking about it. And she's like, okay, my God, you say in the Trinity is your God too. So if you can pray to yours, then I can pray to mine, you know, type of deal. Pretty convincing. I mean, confusing, because they try to say that we have idols because we believe in the Trinity, the three in one. They don't believe that God is broke up into three. And, so all of the different explanations that the people gave, I was like, man, I wish I was there, because what I would have said to the Jew and to any Muslim that's listening, I would say this. Okay, what they're all forgetting is that Jesus is the Lamb. If Jesus is the Lamb, then he is the perfect sacrifice. This is what they're not accepting. It is basically the dowry that God gave to humanity was his own son. That's another thing that Jewish woman asked. She goes, do you believe that Jesus has a father? And they said no, because they're all one. But I was thinking, I do, because he says father. I mean, you know, I'm sure she was going to say, but where's the mother? Which there are some people online that believe that the Holy Spirit is the mother, which would make sense. The Bible talks about the woman, you know, that wisdom is a woman and wisdom is the Holy Spirit. So it could be a marriage unit, the father, the son, and the mother, you know, triangle. But I just don't go there just because. But that's what they say is wrong Christianity and trying to debunk Christian. So they're jealous because we say that, you know, there's only one covenant, and that's the covenant that has to be. So then they put the apostles in jail. An angel opens the prison at night, the doors, telling them to keep preaching. Then they're brought before the council, and Peter states, we must obey God rather than men. Bam. A wise teacher named Gamaliel persuades the council not to kill them, warning them to leave the men alone if the movement is from God. But the apostles are beaten and ordered to stop speaking about Jesus, but they rejoice that they are suffering for him and continue to preach daily. Isn't that something? Okay, so let's go ahead and go over here to the Word, and let's get started in here. How does the Word describe this chapter? And Lord, I pray that you help our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto us today. Okay, so in Acts chapter 5, let's go to verse 1. And of course, we're using the King James Bible. Okay? All right. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? And while it remained, was it not your own? After it was sold, was it not in your own power? What have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Wow. Can you imagine if you're Ananias and Sapphira? And many people have done that. Many people have done this. You know, they've been selfish and greedy with their money. And they have done this. So can you imagine if this was you? And you lied to God's man. And look at here. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Oh. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, because let's back up a little bit. Remember, up until this point, the people in this community, everybody was bringing everything and putting it in one big pot. They were a community. Okay. So here's this couple that shares their land, but they don't give it all to the pot. They decide to keep back some to themselves. And so when she was confronted by God's man, she fell over and died. And the young men arose, wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours later when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Now, can you imagine? So that was the husband. Now it's the wife. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold this land. How much do you sell it for? She goes, yeah, I only sold it for so much. So she lied. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together, both of you, to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried your husband are at the door and shall carry you out. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Can you imagine? Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning over here on Facebook, and good morning on YouTube. Good morning on Band, and good morning on Patreon. Then she fell down straightway at his feet. I mean, can you imagine just going and just fall down right there and yielded up the ghost? And the young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Isn't that sad? Good morning, Channing. Good morning, everybody. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest does no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. Let me see what that verse means. Let's see. This verse captures a very fascinating paradox in the early church. The surrounding community deeply respected the Christians, yet they were absolutely terrified to casually associate with them. The hesitation is the direct result of the deaths of Ananias and Sapphira. The public realized that God was actively weeding out hypocrisy within the church with lethal precision. Joining the Jesus movement was no longer seen as just a social club or an interesting political movement. It carried a heavy supernatural weight. Whoa! Wonder how many people would quit going to church if this happened. Think about it. How many people would react? To this, if this happened today, how many people would quit going to church? You know, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Basically, the way I see this scenario is, okay, Peter, when he confronted the sin and confronted the lie, and God backed him up, and removed their spirit, God took their life. So they were backed up. This apostle was backed up by God. So that's why they said if they walk by just a shadow of him, you know, would heal them. There also came a multitude out of the cities round about in Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. All of you that was on the prayer call and heard my story this morning, don't this remind you of that story? Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Ooh, they were mad, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Bam! God backed them up again. Got them out of prison and said, go forth, young man. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early that morning and talked. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found that they were not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found that we shut them all up with safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted them whether this would grow. Then came one and told them, but saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. God is so funny. Then went the captain and the officer with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did we not straitly command that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Bam! That is the key word for today. Everybody repeat after me. Say, Acts 5:29. Acts 5:29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Bam, bam, bam. I remember when I first got in the prison, when I first got in the pit back in 2013, so many people thought I went crazy because I was not doing things according to the tradition of man. I was doing it directly opposite. I was doing what the Holy Spirit was telling me to do. Thus, I was losing everything. This is not the way NAR teaches, not to be this radical. Oh, no. And so I was doing everything different. And then when the Holy Spirit said, now I want you to travel and serve ministries. I want you to help them like you learned in college. So then I began traveling and just started serving all these ministries for free, God said. And I did that for 3 years. No radio, no television, only God. He was detoxing me and serving all these ministries across the country for free. Did people make fun of me through that? Yes. But I told them, I am obeying God. And what did God do? God backed me up one day. He sure did. He backed me up. He proved to them that he was with me. But we ought to obey God rather than man. Bam, bam, bam. Okay. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hung on a tree. Him has God exalted. Now they're talking about Jesus. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. Yes, the Holy Spirit can leave a Christian. He can gently leave. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, "You men of Israel, take heed to yourselves. What do you intend to do as touching these men?" Uh-oh. So this is a very respectful man in the community. "For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. Now after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. So now I say unto you, refrain from these men, leave them alone. For if this counsel or this word be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God." Bam! And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beat them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Oh, man. Even though this man was saying, "Look, leave them alone. If they're not of God, it'll prove itself." But they still took them and beat them, didn't they? So sad. And not only beat them, but commanded they did not speak in the name of Jesus. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Is there anybody that is listening to me right now that can say you honestly feel that way? That you feel honored to be suffering, to suffer shame for his name? Is there any of you that can say that? Think about it. When you're suffering, and you know it's because of your stand for Jesus, how many of you guys, and I know most of you watching, how many of you guys since 2020 can raise your hand and say that you feel like you have suffered shame for his name? And I can say I feel like I am as well. So raise your hand. I would say almost every one of you feel that way. Why is that? Because you tried to warn people. You tried to help people. You held on to the horns of the altar and didn't believe the beast and didn't fall for the beast. So yes, you suffered shame for his name. Because the wheat and the tares have been separated. And I believe it's fixing to go even more, even further. Okay? And the last scripture for today. "And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." You mean even after they was beat? Even after they were shamed, even after they were falsely accused? Yes. I talked to a sister yesterday, and she was up. She's watching right now, and she had this conversation with her pastors at her church. And she's like, "You guys don't think that we will suffer?" And they was like, "No." And she's like, why do you think that we're better than the apostles? I was like, wow, 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 wow. Such a powerful statement. But I also applaud her that she had this conversation with her pastors, that she talked to them about this end time scenario. You know, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, you know, because look, this is something, all of you that go to church, this is something you need to think about. And we're going to talk about this a minute. Because I'm finished with the Bible study, but this does open up another door of something we need to discuss as a church. Okay. Okay. They are coming out with a new mRNA vaccine this fall. So we're talking like within a month. It's already approved, but it's coming forth. Now, is your church going to address this? I mean, what is the church's position on mRNA vaccines? You know, how are they going to address this type of deal? Because this is very serious. I mean, this could be life and death for people. The mRNA is messenger RNA. It is CRISPR technology. I could take you online right now and I could just go down that rabbit trail and show you what mRNA does. Okay? And so, now, the problem is they are targeting the elderly. You know, you can take that for whatever you want to take that as. But how are these, you know, ministers going to address that to their elderly people? Especially when, you know, they begin the pressure campaign. Do y'all remember that sermon I did, I think it was just a couple of weeks ago, about the pressure campaign is going to be upped, you know, pressuring people to come in. So that's a very serious thing that's on the horizon for churches, you know, much less all the other natural disasters that they say is going to be increased in the fall. The you know, the record-breaking hurricane season they're calling for. And the reason that may be possible is because of the data centers and the heat and the weather pattern that is affected because of the heat that those centers produce. This is why a lot of ministries are building their buildings now like spiders. We've done the research on this too. They're building them in steel frames because the wind velocity due to the extreme heat patterns is going to be increased. And now we're seeing all these fires and all this other stuff happening, you know. So anyway, I encourage you, you know, to go talk to your pastor about this stuff, you know, and make sure where they stand type of deal. So does anybody, yeah, I believe that too, Heather. Hey, good to see you, Lovey. Lovey says, the church we used to go to 6 years ago, they gloss over what evil is in the pharmakia. Oh, man. And just say, you know what you need to do. Not even directing them to pray for God's leading. Wow. Yes, the M in mRNA is messenger. And what that means is a coding system that they're installing within the human DNA. Because our DNA is our book of life. So it is installing, I feel like, Lucifer's code into the DNA structure that God meant for our book of life. So you take that for whatever you want it to be, you know. But it's definitely not a good thing, for sure. So is there anybody that needs prayer? Today, I'm going to do the Bible study a little early. I mean, not the Bible study, but the news. I'm probably going to do it at 3 o'clock. Waiting all the way till 6 for me is just too late for right now. I'm going to do it at 3. Since I get done with these, you know, at 11, 11:30, I'm going to do it at 3 o'clock for a while, you know. That way I can cook dinner and not be eating dinner at 8 o'clock, you know what I mean? So, does anybody have any questions or prayer needs? I'm definitely here for you for prayer or anything. Or if you have any questions. Also, I want to tell you guys, if you are over on Facebook, please like our church Facebook page, Garden of Eden Ministries. And then also for my news, I started a page there for the news. That way, just so I can warn the people over on Facebook. So let me know, I mean, if y'all would like it. Oh, I hear you, Lovey. I hear you. Okay, let me look on YouTube and Facebook. Okay. Pray for your husband's health, his body. Oh, that's terrible, sister. His body is fully in pain. Thank you. Imagine how it would look with blonde hair. Thank you, sister. All right, let's pray for Lovey's husband. Lord, I just pray for Lovey's husband, Lord, that you would heal his body from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. I thank you, Lord, that by your stripes that he is healed. And Lord, we just lay him down at the foot of the cross, Lord, asking for your blood to flow over him, Lord. Heal him in every way, Lord, spiritually, physically, and mentally. I thank you, Lord, that by your stripes that he is healed. And Lord, I come in agreement with Lovey, too, with her prayers for her own husband. In Jesus' name, amen. Very good, very good. Yeah, it's a good question, Trish. She goes, why didn't Peter give them a chance to repent? A good question. I don't know. Jennifer says, pray for my dad. Both of his legs have bad cellulitis, and he's on 2 weeks of meds and no relief. Ooh. I heard that can be very painful, too. Aw. Well, Lord, we just pray for Jennifer's father right now. Coming in agreement, Lord, because your word says that when two or more agree touching anything, that prayer will be answered. And we learned yesterday again that we are kings and priests, Lord. We're your partners here. So, Lord, we come in agreement with your word that it says that he is healed in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we just thank you for healing his legs and all of the inflammation and swelling to go down in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that by your stripes that he is healed. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would use this opportunity to minister to him, Lord. Humble him. Draw him closer to you, Lord. Help him to realize his utter dependency upon you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, amen. Yes, amen. Okay, we pray right now in the name of Jesus for Irene's hip. Thank you, Lord, that by your stripes that she is healed and that you heal all the residual effects from that fall. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that your word is true and your word says that you were healed. And that is what we declare right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for no residual effects. And we partner with her prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I looked it up why they died like that. Here's an answer. That's a good question. Peter actually did not kill Ananias and Sapphira. He did offer Sapphira a direct chance to come clean. Their immediate deaths were an act of sudden divine judgment by God to protect the purity of the early church. Peter confronted Ananias and exposed the lie through the power of the Holy Spirit. But the final judgment and death came directly from God, not from Peter. An opening was provided. When Sapphira arrived 3 hours later, Peter asked her a direct question. Tell me, did you sell the property for this amount? This gave her an explicit opportunity to tell the truth and repent. But she chose to uphold the deceit. Protecting the early church. The severe and swift penalty served as a powerful, sobering warning against hypocrisy as the Christian community was just beginning. It established that God values absolute honesty and inner authenticity over outward appearances of generosity. That is a great answer, isn't it? Yeah. I tell y'all what, I really enjoy doing these Bible studies. I love doing the deep dives, you know, where we break it down and you know, learn it line by line. And yes, amen, Ardina. We are utterly dependent upon Jesus, yes. But I really do enjoy this and spending time with you guys as well. Yes, Lovey, that's right. Yeah, Peter did give her a chance. That's why he asked her, huh? It's just sad that she chose to go along with her husband, isn't it? You know, I was talking to a lady about her child. I was giving her some counseling. And I said, I'm going to do a broadcast where we actually talk about our children. Because all of you need to understand one thing. Your children belong to the Lord. Okay? No matter what age they are. And it's not our job to hold them up and prop them up in their suffering. Because sometimes that's blocking them from seeing Jesus. Seeing Jesus as their provider, their comforter when they're suffering, they're the one that's there with them. When we constantly hand them money and get them out of trouble and always trying to do all this for them, we're hurting them more than helping them. You know, I mean, I'm sure there are extenuating circumstances, but I'm saying the majority of our kids. So we need to talk about this because we are in judgment and those children need to learn. The Bible says that we hand them over to Satan. Like, say if you raised your child in church and then they got older and they decided they didn't want God, but they want to serve the world. Because they don't believe in the way you tried to raise them, then they need to go out there. They need to experience the devil. They need to see what he has to offer. But you pray. That's what the Bible means. Hand them over to Satan and let them see. Because they're going to have to choose this day who they're going to serve. But if we continually prop them up and help them, we're doing nothing but enabling them and stopping them from seeing God for who he is. Amen. What? School started here today in Florida, and two high schools were put on lockdown for a strange package, a bomb. Wow. That is crazy. Good point, Lovey. As children, these vessels must break so that God can pour his light in and through. True that. We have to give them a chance to learn. It is hard love, that's right. But it is the right way. Some people have to hit the absolute bottom. They have to be homeless. I mean, they have to get smacked out of their stupor. Because what it is they're believing a lie of the enemy. And that this is why they're selfish or stubborn or doing things the way they're doing. Because they're believing a lie of the enemy. Plus mixed with what they're watching on social media and, you know, the lies of social media and the television shows and the movies and all that stuff that tries to tell them it's greener on the other side, you know. Y'all know what I mean? Yes, it is hard, tough love. All right, well, I'm going to get off here and I'll see y'all at 3. Y'all have a blessed day. God bless.